You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
It is just that, and we're starting with actual on-field baseball. 800-919-3776. It is Carlin on 98.7 ESPN. Later in the show, we check in with Scott Soschnick from Sportico, who has probably been the top reporter on the Mets sale developments as they have come along, and reported today about new contenders that have entered the fray. So we're going to start to get a little bit of a handle on where we are with this sale and how far along the process is and when it could actually happen. Plus, a new development that went flying under the radar when it came to the sale. We'll discuss all that throughout the course of the show. We will get into the NBA and the Knicks trying to pick a path from a fork in the road. And it is an easy selection to make. But we start with on-field baseball tonight. Now, it is not official yet. The remaining issue holding up the players voting to agree to go play is simply around the health of its players and all the safety and protocols. And according to John Gambadoro, who is very plugged in, he's a guy out in Phoenix, and he does a talk show out there. I told you about him. He's actually a New York guy. And Gambo tweeted this about 10 minutes ago, and if Gambo says it, you can take it to the bank. Players want to know what happens if one of them tests positive on the road. Do they isolate and quarantine in a hotel on the road? Do they get a car to drive them home? What happens if a family member gets sick at home and a player has to leave? Do they get service time and pay? These are the remaining issues. These are things that you would believe would get worked out. And that's why we're going to start the show tonight with actually talking about baseball itself. And with the 60-game season, you understand where I'm coming from on this, the validity with which I will treat this historically. But that aside, we have been waiting for this, and now we have it, and now you begin to ask the questions as spring training approaches next week. Who benefits the most from the shortened season? Well, allow me to take you back a few days. We had David Cone on the show last Friday night, and I asked him that very question.
I really believe that the deepest pitching staffs will be the ones that really thrive in this situation. The pitchers are going to get maybe 3 weeks to gear up and be able to throw four or five innings. So you're going to have relievers coming in earlier, especially, and this is more of a sprint than a marathon type of a season. So the teams that have the best bullpens, the teams that have the most depth in AAA, the top 20 pitchers, you carry maybe 13 pitchers on a roster. I think you need 10 more in reserve. So I would say that the teams with the 20 best pitchers, relievers and starters combined, are the ones that are going to really thrive in this situation. I think you still go to the big markets with that. I think the Dodgers and Yankees still have an advantage because of their bullpens in that regard.
I don't think there's any question about that. Start to think about actual baseball for a moment. Look at the Yankees situation. From a pitching standpoint, even without James Paxton, you have Gerrit Cole, you have Tanaka, you have Happ, you have Loaisiga, you have Jordan Montgomery. In the bullpen, you have Britton and Chapman and Sessa and Green and Holder and Canely and Ottavino. The depth is fantastic across the board for the Yankees with their pitching staffs. Now, you're going to have what? Probably a roster of about 30 to start, and then it will slowly get cut down to around 26. So if you're doing that, you have your guys. They're not necessarily in AAA because it doesn't look like there's going to be a full-on any sort of a AAA season as far as what we know. But either they're with you and working out, the top 50 guys who are either traveling or at the home base of each team, working out at Yankee Stadium daily, depending on how they're throwing. The Yankees' depth on the pitching staff, especially in a situation like this, is going to benefit them so greatly. What worries me the most is injuries. I am scared to death of seeing the Mets and Yankees and other teams around the game, frankly, rushing into this season, 3 weeks of ramping it back up, and then we're going to be where, in essence, you would have been at the beginning of spring training with these 3 weeks when you go back to work. So think about that. 3 weeks into spring training, where are pitching staffs? Guys are not pitching more than a few innings. And it might be a little bit further along. Guys, I'm sure, have been throwing all along as we've gone through this pandemic. But I prefer to make the assumption that for starting pitchers to begin with, in a 60-game season, you're going to be talking about four-inning starts, maybe five-inning starts. If things work out well at the beginning of the season, I think that still might be asking too much. You're going to see so much in terms of the opener mentality, right? Because even the starters are openers in this regard. You're going to see bullpens that are going to get overworked, and only the deep survive here. The Yankees are fortunate enough to be in that position. And I don't know that there has ever been a season where you could honestly say the depth of your pitching staff is the most important that it has ever been. And I understand through 162 games, you need to go through 10 different starters. You need to go through 15 different relievers at different times. What we do know now is that in a 60-game season, that you are not having your starters go deep into the games, and it is a sprint and not a marathon, you are going to have to rely on that depth more and more and more each day. And we know the Yankees will have this. And that's why they are exceptionally set up well as opposed to a lot of the other teams in the American League. I got to be honest with you. If the Yankees stay remotely healthy, this should still be a walk. It should still be a walk. Now, something we talked to David about last week was the health of a guy like Aaron Judge, and he was not convinced that with a core muscle issue that he's still going to be ready to go at the start of the year. Okay, we think that he probably will be. You hope that he will be, but with Judge and with Stanton, you're going to be dealing with these kind of injuries throughout their entire career. Nobody stays 100% healthy, but think about it. You know what the real benefit of a 60-game season is? Less of an opportunity to get hurt. Now, you may actually increase the risk of getting hurt, but the number of times that you're running out there and playing is cut down by more than 60%. So it balances itself out, right, to a degree. I still think it works to your benefit a little bit. But it still gives you less of a chance with playing less games to get guys hurt. So that's a benefit. And then flip over to the Mets for a second. So you've already lost Noah Syndergaard. You have DeGrom, you have Stroman, you have Porcello, you have Mats, you have Waka up top. The Met bullpen is not one that honestly concerns me all that much. I do believe, with all this extra time, that Edwin Diaz is going to be back and be more effective than he was last year. And I think that these kinds of times were built for guys like Seth Lugo and Robert Gsellman and Dellin Betances. I'll tell you what, that signing could end up looking brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Not good, brilliant, 30 games in. And then Justin Wilson and Familia and Brad Brock, all of these guys. There's real depth in that bullpen. Where I worry, oh boy, between Porcello, Mats, and Waka, as far as injuries, you know, Mats has been a little bit better as far as the Mets are concerned, when it comes, as far as injuries are concerned, I should say, over the last couple of years. he hasn't been nearly as bad as he has been. He's gone out there 30 times. I give him credit for that. But do you trust in a shortened season with less opportunities? Yes. But do you trust that Steven Matz goes out there and stays healthy? I don't know if you can. I don't know if that's fair. Do you trust that Rick Porcello is going to go out there and pitch at a level that, yes, this is a former Cy Young winner, but that's a couple of years ago, and he pitched to a 5.5 ERA last year? Do you trust that he's going to go out there and deliver a better performance than he has in the past couple of years at least? You know, that Cy Young year is 4 years ago now. The one thing you can look at Porcello for is durability. You can feel better about the fact that this is not a guy who has missed starts. He hasn't. And then you come to the very back end with Michael Wacha, and we know that that's obviously going to be a concern. So where does the Mets depth figure into this as far as pitching? I'm not feeling particularly great about it. I feel decent. I feel as if it's manageable in a sprint. But boy, you don't just need the durability from Wacha. You need the guy that is capable of going out there and pitching to a 3.5 ERA. Because if you look at Michael Wacha's career, it's been a bit of a roller coaster. Staying healthy the last couple of years, yes. Made 24 starts last year, but the year before that, you know, pitched half a season. So without Syndergaard, it really weakens that stance. So if you're sitting there thinking, you know, the Mets got a chance, I do think the Mets got a chance. I really, really have to get that rotation to excel. I have to stay healthy in that rotation. And I know, folks, when you make a statement like that, there's a collective, adoy. Yes, I'm aware. But this year, more than ever. You know how I feel about this. It's not legit. It's not anything. But if you're excited to go grab a cheapie, go grab a cheapie. Try to sprint home here. I worry from a Mets standpoint about that depth. From a Yankee standpoint, they should walk. Walk in the American League. So let's do something novel to start the show, shall we? Let's talk about baseball on the field. What has you optimistic? What has you pessimistic about the Yankees and Mets right now? Because we actually are going to have baseball to talk about. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that right now.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
We are going to get to the Bubba Wallace situation as well very shortly. I have reached out to Marty Smith to see if he might have a few minutes tonight. We'll see if he does. Obviously very busy these days. All I can say is I'm thrilled to actually find out that Bubba Wallace was not the victim of a hate crime. But if you're going to go out there and scream and pound your chests and we're about to make so sorry you were wrongly accused, racist. Oh, we did you dirty there. It was so out of line to think that that could have happened. Oh, my God. Stop. Stop. 800-919-3776. The point is this. Out of something that was perceived to have happened, there was great unity. And frankly, I'm happy that it didn't happen. Of course you are. It's much better that there wasn't a hate crime committed. Are you happy now? If I have one more person screaming, oh, you better talk about who is wrongly accused. Who exactly was wrongly accused? I missed the name that was attached to this. Did I miss something? You know, I'm pretty sure this doesn't mean racism is solved. Just going to throw that little notion out there. 800-919-3776. Adam in Brooklyn starts us off tonight on 98.7 ESPN. Adam, how are you?
What's going on, Carl?
How you doing, brother?
Good. So with the baseball coming back, they're saying that the NL will have the DH. So if the NL has the DH and for the future years, the new
no, they're
CDA
saying it does
up,
not have the DH.
They said on the K-Show today that it will.
All right, I'll double check it again. Maybe I missed it. But my impression was they were not going to have the DH either year, but I will double check that.
All right, so anyways, if they do make this in the new CBA, the DH, do you think that it'll become more common to see more AL and NL play?
It'll be more common to see what?
To see more AL versus NL games in the future years.
No, I don't think so. I think it's more going to be about this year, logistically, what works the best, what is going to provide the easiest situation for not transmitting the virus. And that would be less travel, and the travel that exists would be more regional travel.
I'm talking about the future, like with the new CBA coming up and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no, I don't. I know you're talking about that. I don't think that's going to be the case. I'm saying it might happen this year, and thanks for the call, because of more regional travel. But I don't think there's going to be more interleague play in the future. They're not having the universal DH next year. My mistake. We'll have the universal DH this year. So there you go. My bad. My misunderstanding was yesterday when they were talking about the universal DH that they were saying they weren't going to have it for 2020 and 2021. Apparently, just 2021. My bad there. 800-919-3776. Dunn in Mineola is next on 98.7 ESPN. Dunn, what's up?
Chris, how are you? I have 2 points. Keep me on if you can or you want to hang up on me, because my first point is that you have a lot of nerve. Because you went on, not just your show, it was one thing if it's just on your show, you went on the other shows on the station, and you continue to say that this is a cheapy season, and that this is not worth it, and this is just going to just waste a little bit of time. Nobody's going to have any kind of respect for the champion of this season, and
correct.
It is wrong, and I disagree, and I don't think that somebody in your position should go around and espouse that sentiment on our population, because when the Mets win the World Series this season, it is not going to have an asterisk next to it. It's going to be a real World Series, the same as the Heat
wow.
in 2012 when that was a shortened season. It's just going to be that way, and it's not right to say anything
a 60-game season. Are you going to sit there and honestly equate a team winning the World Series this year to a team winning over 162-game season?
I will, yes, because the challenge...
Well, you'll be wrong. It's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. It's not close to the same thing, and you're 100% wrong on that.
No, Chris, hear me out. I agree with what you're saying, but I don't agree that when you have a season of 162 games and you have a team that wins the pennant or team that wins their division that heads into the playoffs, that whole season starts again. A playoff is a playoff. A seven-game series is a seven-game series. It is impossible to win. And to say anything otherwise is crazy.
No, it's not. Because in a 162-game season, you have a grind of an entire summer to go through before you get to those playoffs. And when you're doing this over just 60 games and you get into those playoffs, sure, anybody can go on a run. But are you going to sit there and tell me, Dunn, that if a team... Let's just argue, like the Marlins goes out and wins this World Series, there aren't going to be people laughing at it.
Well, Chris,
or shouldn't be laughing at it.
Break, a second before this last commercial break, you yourself said this season will come down to depth. And the reason
yeah.
is because...
Now, Don, I'm talking about what it's going to happen. All I'm saying is personally how I view the season. I view this season with no legitimacy. I'll watch it because I want something to watch, but I'm not going to sit there and tell you that I put any historical importance on a champion whatsoever, and I'll put a giant damn asterisk next to them in my book. That's just me.
But if it comes down to depth, how can
Dunn, why are you already making excuses for the Mets winning the World Series? Why don't you cross that bridge when you get to it?
I think that they will win, and
that's great. That's great. Wait for it to happen. What was point number two that you wanted to make?
Point number two is this, and I'll make it a bet with you if you'd be interested in making a bet. Gerrit Cole is the most overrated Major League Baseball player to ever play on this game. He will be terrible. He was a product of the Houston Astros system, and I don't need to go into more detail there. You know what I'm saying? And I think he will be a disaster on this team.
I don't think he'll be a disaster on this team. I don't see that. And I don't really want to make a bet, Dunn. Thanks for the call. I mean, what's the point of making a bet? That's what you think. So you have just stated as a point of fact, Gerrit Cole will suck, and this season has all the legitimacy of a regular baseball season. Strike one, strike two. Joe in Staten Island is next on 98.7 ESPN. Joe.
So that was hysterical, but that guy, I don't know what he's thinking about. He's just an envious Met fan, I think.
Well, he's an optimistic Met fan. Look, if the Mets go win the World Series, good for the Mets. He is already thinking about getting kicked in the groin when they do by Yankee fans. That's what he's thinking about.
But question, if there's a universal DH, what's the need for NLAL, an unbalanced schedule?
Well, there's not really going to – my guess is there's not really going to be an unbalanced schedule this year. Because I think they're
not this year. I'm saying moving forward. They said,
well, no, in 2021, there's not going to be a universal DH.
So next year
there is not.
After 2021, right? That's part of the CBA. Is they're going to try to make it a universal DH. So let's hypothetically say that goes through. Okay, it's a universal DH. Mm-hmm. What's the point of having leagues? Why wouldn't you like an AL and an NL? It's the same. There's nothing differentiating them. So what's the point of doing that and also having an unbalanced schedule? I mean, take the top 16 teams for the playoffs then at that point?
No, I think the point is, I would think eventually when they get to a new deal down the road that you will potentially have the universal DH, I think, is in place. I think that's fair. And I think that you will have a different playoff structure. But I think they're still going to have different looks at or different leagues, rather, primarily because that's how they've always structured it before. And I don't think the DH really changes that. They're still going to have National League divisions.
But you would do it by location as opposed to,
the way it is now. Not beyond this year. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think they're going to take teams and throw them in the National League or in the American League and all that. And I get what your point is. But I don't think that's going to happen because you're still going to have two different leagues. You still have interleague.
Houston and Milwaukee,
They move them because they had to even things out. They had to make it fair. So now you have 15 in each league. That's part of that deal. You had 16 and 14 before. So anyway, thanks for the call. That's the point. When you look at it now, you understand that both leagues are balanced. They're not going to take that and change it anytime soon. I don't think they're going to take the Boston Red Sox and put them in the National League East, or there's just going to be one Eastern Division, one Central Division, one Western Division, and they're just going to be bigger. I don't see that either. You're going to have two different leagues so that you still have the American League champion and the National League champion going head-to-head in the World Series. They may structure it differently with the playoffs, but I don't think that's changing anytime soon.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
To the telephones and talk to Mark in Newark. Mark, what's going on, man? How are you?
Hey, Chris. How are you?
I'm good. What do you got, man?
Well, as I tweeted you, my condolences to your friend Matt from the heart, definitely.
Yeah, Matt's a good man, and I actually just got a note from someone in his family, and they're all with him. You know, listen, we think of all the people who go through this, and 39 years old is just, it's crushing. Yeah,
yes.
It's absolutely crushing. But our thoughts and prayers are with Matt's family. Anyway.
Without question. There's just a couple of things that just my mind just won't, my mind is with unrest. And that is this. Okay, when I was listening to Covino and Rich, they had this NASCAR guy on, and he was extremely adamant and very forceful in his take that this person was going to be smoked out, was the word he used, because of the amount of cameras and whatnot and surveillance that they have on the pit crews for, obviously, to stop people from stealing or cheating or whatever the case may be. And that he had no question that this person was going to be, quote unquote, smoked out. Okay, well, the thing that bothers me about that is that all of a sudden the FBI, we're talking the FBI, right? The FBI said that the noose had been in the garage since October. So my question, and what bothers the hell out of me, is that was the cameras that was going to supposedly smoke out this individual not there in October? And the other one is, because the noose was in his garage in October, does that mean that it's any less, that anything's different? What difference?
Well, it wasn't his garage in October. That's the primary point. It was not his garage in October. He was assigned this garage for Talladega this year. That's how it works. So it would be impossible for somebody to know that. I guess the real big question is, why was this pull rope fashioned into a noose at some point?
Well, then one could only surmise. I mean, I don't know. Call me crazy.
I don't think it was, again, from the issues, from the horse's mouth, so to speak, from the FBI, it was fashioned that way before.
Right, right. So my question now with that, even with that, is, okay, so let's just fashion ropes and nooses. What were they going to do with it? What was the connotation? I mean, why was it there at all? So, and then with those cameras that were going to smoke this person out, they couldn't see when this noose was placed there in October. It's the FBI we're talking about.
Well, no, I understand that, but they said it's been there since at least October, and we don't know why it was fashioned right that way. But their point was, this was not a hate crime directly against Bubba Wallace. And that's what they were charged with finding out here. Beyond that, we have not heard anything else, but I appreciate the call, Mark. I don't know that you can assign anybody else with any sort of blame for this when you really have no concept of why it was like that in the first place. Who knows? I don't know that there would be any reason to have it particularly set up that way, but what do I know? I admittedly know nothing about NASCAR. Obviously, it's very clear that they are not normally set up like nooses, or it would not have turned into what it did. May I have the breaking news sounder, please? Because we have breaking news.
Breaking news.
After it all, the deal is done. Holy crap, the deal is done. According to many, 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 many reporters on Twitter, Major League Baseball and the Players Association have the deal on health and safety, so it is now play ball, until, of course, the Players Association files that grievance. So, yes, they will now put a schedule into place. No idea when we will get that exactly, but as of now, play ball. Assuming that there's no COVID issues. I don't even want to think about them right now. I don't even want to think about them. I'm looking forward to being entertained, but I don't even want to think about them.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Are we in the club? Is this the club?
See, I respected what you just did just now. Not too many people would do that. You got to lay out until the beat drops. And you just did that.
Oh, come on. You just did. Of course I'm going to do that.
But not everyone will.
The only time I don't lay out until the beat drops is until if I know that the beat's not dropping for another 45 seconds.
Or if you don't know the song. Right?
Well, but that's rare.
It's but I respect that. I think all credit has to be given to you. Because some people would just step all over it, and now I'm in a bad mood in the studio because I thought I had something perfect lined up, and it was just urinated on.
You know, I don't know if I would put it that way, but you know what's so disappointing to me is that every time I think of the club, and I've admittedly, I've only been to the club like, you know, 3-4 times ever in my life.
A handful of times
because it was never a place where this package was going to work for me.
Wait, which package are we referring to?
I'm talking to my entire look, everything. No, I wasn't pointing downward. I was talking about my entire... That really was poor, so poorly by me. Now that I look back on it, that's really unfortunate. But my entire look, everything that I have to offer, is not best showcased in that environment.
So you're best showcased behind a microphone on the air.
No, I wouldn't say that. I'm charming. I can listen. The club is just not the spot. The loud bar, not my best spot either. My humor has to carry the day. Has to in that instance. Okay. So it's not going to come across when I'm screaming over Swedish House Mafia.
Good look at you. I respect that. You do it every single week. I keep telling you this, and I don't want it to kind of dilute itself, but I'm more impressed with your music library and your expertise in that area more and more every week.
As you should be. 800-919-3776. Let's return to the calls. Omar in East Brunswick is next on 98.7 ESPN. Big O.
Hey, Carlin, I was so upset not thinking baseball was going to come back, but we're back, baby. Let's go Mets. We're back. Finally. I'm so excited, man. I was so upset. I didn't think it was going to happen, and here we are. We finally got it. Like, this should have been done months ago, but here we are. We got the deal done. Let's go, man. Let's go. So, yeah, I'm very excited about that. I know that's not what I want to talk about, though. Sorry, I got carried away.
That's okay.
Yeah. So, with the whole Bubba situation, for me, it's just a little weird because even after the FBI was done investigating, NASCAR said they're still going to investigate why the rope on the handle was tied like a noose. And for me, that just made it even more weird because also, it was in the same room as last year, and it just so happened to be Bubba's room. So, I don't know.
I'm not going to dig into conspiracies on it because if the FBI is involved, you know, no matter what anybody wants to say, the FBI is not going to give you the wrong information on this to protect anybody. Okay, that's not what's going to happen. When the FBI is involved, they're doing the right thing. And don't bother if you're thinking, oh, really, Carly? What about this? No, stop. I know some agents, and I know what they're about, and they're about doing the right things. So let's just not get involved in that discussion. But my point is, we don't have to look too deeply here. Let's accept the fact that it didn't happen and accept it as a good thing that it didn't happen, but at the same time, recognize that the problems are now not suddenly gone. 800-919-3776 from both sides. From both sides. Don't start digging and talk about conspiracy theories about why it must have been, even though they're saying this, well, they're protecting NASCAR. No, conspiracy theories from both sides. Can't you just take something at face value at any point? Believe it or not, not every single thing is a conspiracy. Mike in Bloomfield is next on 98.7 ESPN. Mike, how are you?
Hey, Chris, what's going on? Just first and foremost, wanted to say so sorry about your friend Matt. I only caught the tail end of it, but very, very, very sorry.
Good dude. Very good dude. And
he sounded like it.
Yeah, we will miss him very much.
But Chris, I appreciate that. No, definitely. And apparently he was a suffering Mets fan like us, too.
Oh, there's and, no. He worked for the team in their ticket office for a long time. He went back and worked for them again. So he saw it really up close and personal.
And, yeah, he really got tortured, didn't he?
He absolutely did. I think if you really pressed him, like he was a massive hockey fan, just my read on the situation, if you really pressed him, a Jets Super Bowl would mean the most to him. And you know, as a fan, like if I pressed you as a fan, what championship would mean the most to you as in your fandom?
Well, I'm a Dallas fan, but I'm also a Mets fan and a Knicks fan, born in 86, so I haven't seen the Knicks or...
So you became a Cowboys fan when they were winning Super Bowls, that's what you're telling me. Oh, it's
appropriate. Because my older cousin was, so, you know, and she was because they were rattling off Super Bowls every year. So I guess indirectly I'm a front runner in a way, but hey, I've stayed strong almost 25 years and I've been suffering ever since. But... You know, the Mets and the Knicks have more than made up for it. But, Chris, I just wanted to ask, you know, why weren't any of these people who were questioning the validity of the claims made by Bubba Wallace?
You're breaking up on
8 hours ago.
I lost you there about halfway through it. The last thing you said was, why weren't any of these people who were questioning it?
Yeah, where were they 24 hours ago? Why weren't they questioning it at all 24 hours ago and before this news broke? And it's because it was such a plausible situation, unfortunately. I mean, if we as America watched a man kill another man for no reason on camera, it was what it was. So is it not plausible that someone would hang a noose in someone's garage? Was it that off the wall, given everything that happened? And they should apologize to who exactly? The racist people that are spewing this garbage to begin with, I can't connect the two. And, you know, is it not true that we do not have a long way to go in this country as far as race relations goes and everything else?
All of that is true.
It doesn't make it untrue.
No,
and,
not in the least.
Just trying to figure out who they should be apologizing to.
Yeah, Mike, I appreciate the call. That's the problem. If there had been a person who was accused of doing it directly and had had their entire reputation completely besmirched by this, it would be awful and a complete, complete disgrace. And we would all be ashamed of ourselves. But there wasn't. So assuming that something like that could happen is not so off the wall. I'm just glad that nobody was accused or had their life ruined out of it. And frankly, I'm more glad that nothing happened. That it didn't happen. It was almost like we got the best of both worlds and that it didn't happen and they were completely galvanized. Loved it.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
I've been exercising so much, hitting the bike or going for long walks. I went for like a 4-mile walk today, which I mean, like, I know it's not impressive. It's a walk. You know, it's longer than an hour. But just trying to get something going, eating well during the day. But the time that just absolutely crushes me is right after the show. And it takes every ounce of will that I have to not throw on a mask and run to Quick Check nearby and grab something. I need a little ice cream.
But see, don't diminish the walk. The walk is a small step toward what you hope will be a victorious journey.
No, I don't diminish the walk.
You said, I know it's not much. It is much. It's better than the alternative, right?
Put it this way. My watch is like, you know, it's not constantly reminding me I have to stand up now. You know, I'm trying to do the right things. Like, for a while, my watch would just kind of, you know, it might go off and say, really? Let's go.
Get it going. How about you do the show standing up, 3 hours?
No.
No?
There'll be none of that. I can't do the show standing up. I can't think straight.
Or do the second hour. So do hour one sitting down, hour two standing up, and then back to sitting down, hour three.
Well, I get up during the breaks a little bit. I try to, you know, Not like I'm getting any steps in or anything like that, but just a stretch.
Or do some jumping jacks during the break.
No, I'm not doing that. Let's not get nuts here, okay? You just said don't diminish the walk. The walk was enough for today. That's fine. We get it. I'm over my 10,000. Let's everybody just calm down, all right?
If you need
everybody
me, I'm here.
Settle down.
Everybody calm down.
Just relax, okay? Let's not get nuts. But we were talking about the pizzas in college late at night. And, oh, I went to Hobart in upstate New York. And I know there's a lot of people that are very anti-Domino's. In a pinch, I am not anti-Domino's at all. I'm really not. Would I rather eat local pizza instead? I absolutely would. Is Domino's awful? It's not. It's not. It's solid. I would term it that way. And when I was in college, they had the late night special. After 10 p.m., medium, one topping pizza, two Cokes, $6. Bang. And oftentimes, people would get somebody on the floor with them and they would, you know, split it up. $3 a piece, you get, you know, like three small slices of pizza and you got a Coke. And then you had some people like me who didn't look for anybody else on the floor to split it with. Yeah, exactly. Oh, that late night special. I may still have a couple of bounce checks to that Domino's in Geneva, New York. That's very possible. Like, I'm shocked that they haven't tracked me down yet. 800-919-3776. The NBA star that we may not see so soon, Nikola Jokic, overseas, has tested positive for the coronavirus. So we do not know when he will be able to make the trip. It's at least going to be a couple of weeks. He is over in Serbia before he can come back. So he is temporarily delayed. He is asymptomatic, tested positive last week. So it's expected that he may be able to return next week. He's going to need two negative tests within 24 hours to come back. I am really fascinated, it's not the right word, kind of locked in on whoever the next NBA star is going to be that's going to sit this out. Because I do think you have a lot of guys over the next couple of weeks that may be on these lower rung teams that may just decide it is not worth it. And they're not going to come back and play. Again, I'll point to the one guy that I think is an obvious choice for somebody to not come back because what's left to gain? Joe Harris. You know, Joe Harris with the Nets has turned into a tremendous three-point shooter and could make himself a lot of money this offseason. What's in it for him to come back right now other than if he gets hurt? You know, I mean, all right, maybe he'll come back, play well. Nets go well down the stretch, you know, if they're playing in these last eight games of the year, and Joe Harris doesn't play well, like, what's to be gained there? You know, does the team start to look at him a little bit differently? Which I think would be unfair, but it's a fair question. I don't know if coming back to play, if you're a guy like that, who's going to be a free agent at year's end, and stands to cash in and make your first big paycheck, why would you do it at this point? And there are going to be guys like that all around the league, and there are going to be guys that have the real concern, as we heard from Dr. Fauci yesterday with Michael, Peter, and Don, about not just themselves getting sick, the young, healthy athlete passing it along to a family member who might be susceptible. Or you might be susceptible and you don't even know it yet. You might have underlying conditions and you don't even know it yet. Ralph is in the car phone. He's up next. Ralph, what's going on?
Hi, Carlin. How are you?
I'm fine, Ralph. You?
I don't understand. I'll give you $1,000 if you could explain me what exactly is the logic behind less travel in baseball. I mean, they're on the plane for 3 hours. You don't want them to be on the plane for 4.5 hours? Like, holy fooling. What are we doing? Just play regular teams. Why are they sticking to only close to them? What is the logic behind that?
Because
so ridiculous. Again,
why is it ridiculous? Because you don't want teams flying across the country. Guys are more.
They're anyway flying.
Do you want the logic, Ralph, or not? The logic is simply you don't want to wear down guys in a shortened period of time to where they may be more susceptible to developing worse symptoms from the virus. That could very possibly happen.
More susceptible. What are you talking about? If they fly 4 hours instead of 3 hours, they're going to be more susceptible to the virus? What does that mean?
Is it 4 hours to fly to Los Angeles?
No, 6 hours. If they fly 6 hours instead of three, they're going to be more susceptible to the virus?
Have you ever gotten jet lag, Ralph? Like, have you ever gotten in at 4 o'clock in the morning and been exhausted the next day?
100%, but exhaustion does not make you susceptible to the coronavirus.
They are talking about trying to make it as easy as possible for everybody to stay in top condition during all of this.
So it's got nothing to do with the virus? It's just they don't want them to get tired. Nothing to do with the virus. Zero.
My point is that when you get tired, your immune system weakens.
That's not true. You made that up. That's not true.
Ralph. There's no question that when you lose sleep, when you are not somebody that is sleeping a lot, your immune system can weaken. You can be more susceptible to getting sick.
Susceptible because you're tired. That's not true, Carlton.
Ralph, you're not listening to what I'm saying. Ralph, let me talk to you for a second. Okay, Ralph? When you have that kind of travel and you live the kind of life that these guys live in terms of nights and all that stuff, your body can get worn down over the course of 162 games.
Tired. Correct? Yeah, very tired. Correct. Very tired.
So over 60 games, they are trying to keep everybody in as tip-top shape so that immune systems don't get worn down a little bit. That's all.
Carl, I understand everything you said, exactly. But I don't think that if a person is tired, their immune system is going to be weakened to the point that now they're going to catch the virus
it's going to be more dangerous. Ralph. It's not catching the virus that's the concern. The virus is so easily transmittable.
Fine, if you get it.
Are you going to listen or not? The point is, you get it, your immune system may not be as strong. So I'm not saying you're going to die from it, but I'm saying there's maybe a stronger chance that you get stronger symptoms and you get beaten up a little bit more physically by it. And thanks for the call. That's all. They are trying to eliminate as many X factors from the equation as they can. I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to sit here and tell you if you're tired, you're more likely to get sick. What I'm telling you is if your body is worn down, and you travel a lot. We all know this. This happens to us. It's human. You travel a lot. You get worn down. You can be more susceptible to getting more symptoms from a sickness. It's just fact. It's happened to me. I wouldn't expect it to go to this extent. But there was a time where my sleep was so off, I got meningitis out of it. Now, I was working overnights and doing all kinds of crazy things with my sleep schedule. That was all over the map. But I'm not going to sit here and tell you I know everything medically about it. But I think the primary reason, I know the primary reason that they are doing it is that they want everybody to be as physically in best condition possible while going through this pandemic and attempting to play, because your immune system can get worn down by being exhausted. It can happen.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.